Hello and welcome to the Ian's Health Podcast with me, Ian Entwistle. This week I'm joined once again by Big James Walker, and in this episode we'll be discussing the reasons why people don't achieve their health and fitness goals, so the stumbling blocks and the common mistakes people make in achieving their optimal lifestyle that they're going for. If you would like to listen to any other podcast episodes, you can do at ianshealth.co.uk. You can also subscribe there via iTunes. And if you would like to, there are a number of blog articles there which may be of interest, which you can read. Okay, let's get into the conversation. Don't forget, these are just our opinions. Please check out other people's. I'm sure they're very interesting too. A quick word of warning also, despite James's best efforts, his language is a little bit on the blue side this week after such a good effort in the last podcast. Never mind. Okay, so we are back in the Ian's Health HQ studios today. We've been on the road.
Studios.
Is that is that pushing it?
Yeah, I've been upgraded to sitting on a chair instead of sitting on his steps.
You got to give the illusion of... Okay, anyway, we're not on the road today. We're back at the desk. And obviously you've heard talking already. The big fella, Big JW.
What up? I'm bringing it back.
He's back in... we're back here. Okay, so what are we going to look at today, big fella?
Common pitfalls. So going over a few more top tips. So kind of common pitfalls as to why people are getting the results they want or kind of getting to where they want on their fitness journey.
So are we going to sound like a supplement advert by saying, not getting the results you want?
Yeah, these are all obviously only my opinions.
As every week, whenever a few weeks we do these podcasts.
Opinions are like assholes.
Everyone's got one.
Yeah, most of them are shitty.
We started off like we mean to go on there, so...
I did say, I wasn't going to swear on this one, didn't I?
Probably you said that every time. You said that every time, I think, don't you?
I did good the last one.
Listen, think about it. We could have, the audience we could build if you kept it,
Keep it nice and clean.
Much like the eating we try and promote.
There we go.
What is clean eating? That's the question. Right, so we're going to look into...
your veg.
Yeah. We're going to look into why people aren't... people think they're putting the effort in the right places and they're doing the kind of things they think are right, but they're not getting the results
they want.
Just not
getting there. They're just not getting on the gain train. Choo-choo, all aboard.
All aboard.
Next stop, Ripsville.
Come and get your gains.
Going through Cut City.
This is it. This is going to be a good one, this. I know. I can tell this is going to be a good one already.
I'm slightly delirious today.
Not enough sleep.
Not enough sleep. We'll talk about that.
We will talk about that. You're going to be losing gains already.
I'm catabolic.
You do not want to. Don't go catabolic. Always make your anabolic window.
Bosh. Sushi.
There, have it. Okay, then. So, I suppose, we see this as trainers if people don't always get where they're... And there are a number of reasons why somebody wouldn't achieve what they're
numerous
what they set out to. Probably the biggest reason is they don't do what they've been told to do.
Or they don't know what they're supposed to do, or they don't know where they want to be. Which moves me on to my first point, Ian. Set a goal.
Seamless lead into that.
I'm like water. I flow with a go. Right. Enough talk. Let's fight. Set a goal. So yeah. Know what you're training for. Know what you're going into the gym for. Again, this is kind of reiterating slightly from the first top tips. But know what you're training for. Know if you're training to get bigger or if you're training to get leaner or if you're, training to partake in a sport event or something like that. Know exactly what you're training for and then build your training around that. Train, don't exercise.
Exactly.
Exercise to get sweaty, train for a goal.
And it's always as well, it's so easy to stray and not put in the work when there isn't a fixed plan, there isn't a fixed goal, I suppose.
So yeah, get that goal and then see it through, because you'll see that, you'll speak to loads of people, especially particularly guys. What do you want to do? Oh, I want to get really lean. Oh, I want to get a lot bigger the next week. Oh, no, I want to get really shredded. I want to put a bit of size on. Stick with one.
Yeah. Stick with the goal and see it through to completion. But so they've got the goal. And they are, whatever that might be. I suppose we mainly, focus on these with people. People's main goal is weight loss And when we say
what we say with weight loss,
well, I was going to say what we say is fat loss, really.
Yeah, it's all about body composition.
So most people's goals that we see are to reduce fat, but there is also the people, mainly guys, not always, but mainly guys who want to put on some size, want to put on some weight, normally muscle. I don't think I've met anyone yet who wants to put on fat.
No.
But you know, anyway, they've set the goal. Let's say it's the weight loss people, the fat loss people, but then that's not happening. What's happening?
They need a good personal trainer.
So what do we do then? Then
no.
If they get a personal trainer.
Generally, if it's
do you know any good ones in Leeds?
No. A couple of outer areas.
Yeah.
Not in Leeds. Dog shit. So yeah, people, again, another kind of pitfall is people doing the wrong kind of training. So I'd say always work on movements, not exercises.
Right.
So a squat is a...
movement, compound movement.
Pec deck.
Is an isolation exercise.
It's an exercise. So that's the difference. So stick on the big ones. Again, get your meat and your veg. Don't worry about the garnish.
Garnish is overrated.
Average. Just get stuck in your teeth.
Exactly.
No one wants that.
So we've said that before, haven't we? So, yeah, they've got to do the big. I think probably the thing the big exercises do, if we're looking at it from an exercise front, I'm sure we'll talk about nutrition as well. The thing that the big exercises do, the compound lifts that we've discussed before, is I think they set a platform, don't they, for skill development and muscular development to then be able to build everything up. It's, you know, you tend to be working on the body as a whole, don't you, when you do the bigger lifts?
Yeah, of course. You're transferring the day-to-day movements that you need to do. So you need to squat down, you need to pick things up, you need to lunge, you need to, you know, push things overhead, pull things down. They're all the bigger basic primal movements.
Yeah. So we
design, you know, it's how the body's supposed to work.
So do you think then, are you saying that people perhaps, what, missing those out?
I think, you know, people get too kind of caught up with the faff and they'll go and do, you know, cable crossovers and pec decks and stuff like that, you know, leg extensions, leg curls, and, you know, neglect the big movements, you know, the squats and your lunges and your deadlifts and stuff like that.
I mean, we should probably mention as well, I mean, probably a reason as well for people not doing those is those lifts are probably the most neurologically demanding, in other words.
Yeah, definitely. You know, in the kind of way we are these days, you sat down, you know, at your desk and stuff like that, your body just switches out. Your body forgets how to move. You look at kids moving, kids can squat, kids can run, you know, jump, fine, no problems. Whereas, you know, the older we get, the more kind of regressed we get, and almost, you know, body switches off and forgets how to do stuff.
Yeah, well, there's more and more evidence coming out now as well that suggests that sitting down or being sedentary for large periods of the day is really detrimental, and that's actually...
Well, I could have told you that.
Well, yeah, well, that's actually...
I didn't know, did he?
That's a separate issue as well from...
Could have saved him some money.
From... should have come to you. That's a separate issue from people not doing exercise as well. So what we're talking about now, even people that maybe spend an hour a day or whatever it is doing some exercise, that's not a... It's not a counter to the... being sedentary for the other, I don't know, 12, 14
just,
hours.
You know what I mean? When in doubt, just squat. Squats will make you a goddamn sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Another plug there.
Should put that on a mug.
See, that'd be a good idea if they put that on a t-shirt, do you think?
I don't have legs.
Maybe it's already been done.
WWW.
Okay, so... So we've covered that. I mean, people can look at that. We've covered doing those lifts before.
Well, don't jump ahead.
Am I jumping ahead? Another one,
yeah. People are doing cardio for fat loss. Or thinking that they need to do just loads and loads of CV.
Right, so go on then.
Slow distance.
So that's a big one, that, because we see, let's put it this way. I see lots of bodybuilders and aesthetic people.
What are you doing? Obviously, you can't see this, but he's trying to get his leg like over my head or something. We're in a very confined space here.
We're in the British. It's like
I was going to say, yeah. It's like I feel like you're Andy Peters and I'm Ed
Phillips
the Duck.
Schofield. was it Andy Peters that?
Yeah.
I thought it was Phillips Schofield. Yeah, yeah. We're in the broom cupboard, the BBC broom cupboard.
Obviously, I'm not that old to remember that, but I've seen it on YouTube.
That's it. I forgot what we were saying.
Lost it. CV.
CV. So I see quite a lot of people. We see people who generally know what they're doing. They're aesthetic people. They look the part. and they up their cardio. They do quite a bit of cardio when yep. they're looking to get lean. So,
but yeah, these would be people that are already got a decent base rate. You know, who are already lean.
Yeah.
You know, so you're talking, if you're getting someone from like 10% or whatever, getting them down to kind of 6%, then they might put in some long, slow distance cardio. Because they're looking at obviously kind of, again, not kind of burning to the muscle and stuff like that. So they're looking at just basically burning fuel.
Yeah.
So you can't, you know, they can't drop the calories anymore. They need to get in, you know, so many calories because they've got to get so much protein, so much fat, in, you know, so many carbohydrates into the diet. So then basically they just need to burn the calories off but keep the nutrients. That makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fuel work. Whereas if you've got someone who's going at 30% body fat,
yeah,
there will be of much benefit, much more benefit, you know, kind of doing intervals.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to go sprint on a treadmill, but, you know, intervals on a rower, on an airdyne bike, a spin bike, anything like that. You know, battle ropes, you know, circuit training, anything that's going to jack a heart rate up, bring it back down, jack it up, bring yeah. it back down. It's going to be a lot more benefit. You know, you just think it's right. You can go out and jog for 30, 45 minutes. You can't sprint. 30, 45 minutes because it's more tiring, so you're burning more energy. The whole thing, if you wanted to drop body fat, or, you know, you need to burn that energy.
And that is the purpose of the purpose of cardio, or the reason why people do cardio is to, like I said, raise the heart rate yeah. And then drop it again if you're doing interval work. And of you, like you've just said, there are many ways to do that. It doesn't have to be sprinting or no, I mean, like said, circuit's a good way, isn't it?
You know, people think like, all right, if I go on this Stairmaster, you know, it's going to work my butt more. It's not that, you know, any kind of like cardiovascular or aerobic stuff, you move in big muscle groups repeatedly.
Yeah.
So, you know, a Zumba class is going to be as effective for your calorie burning as doing 45 minutes of star jumps.
Yeah.
It's just, it's something that you enjoy.
Yeah. So
you know, don't fall for the advert where it's like, it works your core.
Yeah.
And your glutes. You know, star jumps do. Mountain climbers do, you know, running up and down stairs well.
Yeah.
It's whatever gets big muscle groups working continuously. That's what gets your heart rate up.
Which they do. Yeah, okay. So yeah, but you, what you're saying is you're going for the high intensity. For someone, for a, you know, let's, excluding those aesthetic people that are going for minimal amounts of body fat.
Yeah.
You're saying just avoid the cardio.
Or yeah, I mean, I can see why. Know. You know, you walk into a gym, you see someone who's in a great nick, you see what they're doing. Right, so that's how they got into that shape. No, it's not. You know, they're already in that shape and then they need to do, you know, whatever they're doing to influence. It's like, you know, if you took Hugh Jackman's nutrition and workout, but you're 30% body fat, you never lifted a weight before, you're not going to look like Hugh Jackman by doing that, because it's all the training, all the nutrition that he's done.
Yeah.
You know, for the past 15, 20 years leading up to that, that's why you can eat like that and that's why you can train like that now.
Yeah, yeah. And that obviously that requires some personal attention then, doesn't it, in making that right. So, okay, so take home from that, you know, so far, have the big movements in there, do some, if you're going to do that cardio type work, intense as opposed to slow, steady. Okay.
Yeah, and then I think the other, you know, misconception which we've mentioned before is, you know, women not wanting to do weights because they don't want to bulk up. You know, so all women want kind of like, you know, the big in vogue thing is, you know, a nice big butt.
Yeah.
You know, slim waist, big butt, and stuff like that. So if you drop all that fat, what's going to happen if you're not doing any weights? What's going to happen, Ian?
Small bum.
No ass. Ass like you've been hit with a frying pan. So, you know what I mean? You've got to lift those, you've got to build that muscle to show it. You know, you can't expect to just strip down loads of fat and then just reveal loads of muscle that you don't have.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, again, the whole thing of kind of having muscle, which is active tissue,
yeah,
lifting the weights, which will burn the calories as well, that's going to help you get leaner.
Yeah, I mean, it's that muscle build. I think that's the bigger thing, which is not discussed as much. We people look at exercise as a way of burning calories. That probably is the least useful thing exercise does.
Mm.
Because if you look at how many calories exercise burns, it's not an awful lot. I mean, you'd have to be doing epic amounts of exercise to get serious, serious calorie burning.
Serious.
You know, which is why, I mean, we've talked about the calorie in the previous episode, didn't we? We talked about the calorie not being, you know, not all calories being the same. So from an exercise point of view, calorie burning is a, for that particular session is not yeah. great. So what you've just said there about what you want to be doing is building the muscle, which is metabolically active.
Yeah, of course, it's what you burn out of the gym.
Yeah, which then continues being a more, I suppose, essentially a more uneconomical burner of calories.
Turning yourself into a furnace.
Yeah. And that's what, you know, because obviously someone with much more, with more useful tissue, i.e. muscle burning, muscle burning energy, you're going to require more, you know, you're going to use more fuel, and that's how it's going to, and that's,
yeah,
how it's going
to
work.
So it's like kind of basically the more muscle you have, the more food you can eat.
There you go. We're all
clean
down.
Food.
We're all down for that. Whatever clean food is,
so,
which we'll talk about.
Go.
Okay, what other pitfalls then do people...
Well, this is where I kind of contradict myself a little bit with a few of these now. First one, I'm going to say people doing too much.
Right.
So, you know what I mean? Kind of people going all out, you know, coming in, you see it in gyms, you know, kind of doing like, oh, I did 3 spin classes back to back. Well, you probably didn't do the first one hard enough.
Yeah.
You know, if you can do 3 45-minute classes back to back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Have you honestly got nothing better to do each time?
Yeah. Yeah. Recovery is a big thing, isn't it? And also, you mentioned it before about exercise is a stressor on the body.
Yeah.
You know, exercise, you stress, what the hope is, you stress the body enough to create a response, because, you know, people and machines, we like to adapt to a situation. So if you stress the body...
Yeah, your body's just I didn't enjoy that. I'm going to build myself back so I can cope with that, whether that's going to be fitness or, you know, lifting something.
Exactly. So, but the key is to get that right is to not overstress it, because obviously too much and that's it.
Don't underrest.
Exactly. So therefore, like you just said there, people are fairly stressed and their lives aren't optimal from the point of view of they're working all day in a stressful environment, most likely, to then add to that with I don't know.
But it's tricky because, you know, some people use the gym as a de-stressor.
Yeah.
So it's getting that fine line of, you know, not having, well, I can't talk because I've had hardly any sleep today. You know, 3 hours sleep, going to work all day, having a stressful job, you know, the kids kicking off, coming up, asking for food.
Yeah.
Like a little e-dog. You know what I mean? Going to the gym, smashing a load of pre-workout in, a load of coffee.
Yeah.
You know, kind of getting wired. You know, you should use stimulants as an aid, not as a crutch. You know, if you haven't used like loads of coffee, loads of Red Bull, loads of kind of whatever weird pre-workouts you're doing now, you know, there's probably some kind of hole in either your nutrition or in your recovery.
Yeah.
You know, if you can't function without drinking 10 coffees a day, there's something up with either you're not getting enough sleep or you're not getting, you know, the right foods in.
Yeah, that's not a normal, well, it probably is a normal way for a lot of people, but it's
but
not.
But again, that's just adding more and more stress. So you're just adding this stress on top of this stress on top of this stress, and then your body's just going to
break down. Have you mentioned that about, have we said about this, were you going to say about the sleep? Or was that?
No, you go with that.
Was that the stress?
You're quite
boring. Have you said about the stress?
We talked about stress. Yeah. Have you not been here for the last 2 minutes?
No, sorry. I didn't know we had a separate stress point. But, I mean, the issue...
Stop looking me in the eye, getting distracted. My majestic beard.
Something I could only dream about.
It's like Pan's Labyrinth.
The stress issue, or people being stressed, ties in with the sleep thing. And, I mean, I don't know what you... I would say we forget this quite a lot as trainers, because we focus on the exercise and the nutrition. But I would say sleep... is more important than both of those things.
You know, when you sleep, when you recover, your body rebuilds itself when it's sleeping. So if you don't sleep...
And the other thing is, I mean...
The gain train will grind to a halt.
No one wants that. Absolutely no one. Absolutely no one wants that. So the issue with the sleep is there's much more to it. It's not a case of just... because we know it's easier said than done to get enough sleep in. I mean... Like I said, we're all very busy doing various things, but the hormonal...
I'm watching fucking Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
Don't tell me you can't get enough sleep or you can't get up earlier to cook your breakfast when you're fucking up to date on Game of Thrones. Tell me what fucking dragon did what.
Like not a fan.
I've watched the first 4 episodes. It was incest.
Yeah.
It won't
I actually couldn't get into it, but we're...
It's like being in Bramley. It's like a documentary.
We're in a minority there because people love it, don't they?
Not for me.
I think the fact you showed you whatever am I calling it, Games of Thrones.
Oh, well, whatever. What's it called? Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones. No, yeah. Whatever. Never mind. Anyway, getting back to our sleep issue, I'm sure we've upset a lot of people that are saying we don't watch Game of Thrones.
People just stopped listening right there.
Probably just did. I'd
rather watch Dungeons and Dragons cartoon.
Back in the day,
uni. Sorry. Again.
And you've just seen that on YouTube. You're not old enough to know that. Cool. Well, you're really in a good portion of our already.
None
small
of us getting
younger,
Ian. Right, come on, crack on.
So sleep. Come on, we've got to get enough sleep. And the thing to do, the hormonal disruption that takes place if you do not get enough sleep is a big deal, I think. And that's what, because you were talking about stress just then. One of the hormones probably people may or may not know about is cortisol, and cortisol tends to be released in a stressful situation.
Yeah.
Whether that be your boss moaning at you in the office, or something a little bit more serious than that.
Podcast going completely wrong.
Yeah, you know, cortisol's release. Now, cortisol is important and has various functions, but one of the things it does, especially in a situation where there is chronic release of cortisol, is it encourages your body to store fat around your middle.
And this is where we say, when you go back to kind of where people store fat as well, you can sometimes look at people's body shape and then kind of see, you know, if they're stressed out all the time, that's when they get the belly fat. If they eat loads of sugars, then usually that's when he kind of goes on to the back fat, you know, the love handles and stuff like that.
Well, that's what you get with cortisol. It stimulates a sort of rise in blood sugar, which then you get a release of insulin and you get the situation associated with that. But, I mean, to link that back up to the sleep, there's certain patterns your body should fit in with in and around sleep, and that when you go to sleep at an appropriate time, you know, hormone production alters in your body. So, you know, you should start having the secretion of melatonin, which serves again many purposes. But if you don't go to sleep at the right time, or you're exposed to light, i.e. blue light's one of the bigger ones, i.e. the light from the light from your laptops, tablets, computers, that kind of thing, monitors, this stops or halts that production of melatonin and stimulates release of cortisol. Now, you don't want cortisol last thing at night.
Ish.
You know, and that's gonna prevent, like I said, that's gonna stop that release of melatonin, which you need to have. Which then means you're not gonna have the cortisol situation first thing in the morning, which is when you do want it, to get you up and about and stimulated for the day. Which is why some people struggle to get up in the morning, because, you know, they've not gone to bed right, or they've been doing things, they've been looking at the phone before they've gone to bed. This can have a real influencing factor.
Yeah, massively. It's one of the tips we give at the gym is, you know, people who don't get enough sleep, is just kind of take anything electronic out of your bedroom. Mm.
That light, just that light can on your skin can have an effect of, like I say, it can alter the hormone situation. And then
think if you put like suntan cream or like factor 50 or something, it could stop it.
Well, I don't know whether that's good for you. I don't know whether
I wear my sunglasses
them funny
at night.
Yellow glasses.
Like I've gone out shooting.
Yeah, like hunters wear. But yeah, so in other words, the point being there's a knock-on effect and that can scupper your best efforts.
To get you sleep.
Yeah, that can scupper your best efforts with your food and your exercise. So
definitely. You know, if you're really, really stressed out, like say, if you concentrate on getting your sleep, getting your food right, you're probably going to end up dropping body fat from there. Stop being so stressed out. Don't feel you have to go in and smash the gym.
Yeah.
You know, 6 times a week, 3 hours a night.
Sleep at the right time of the day as well. So going to bed at night, you know,
obviously,
when it's dark.
If your lifestyle allows it.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of information as well that associates bad health with shift workers. Not a coincidence there.
Hey.
So, you know, there you go. Okay then, so sleep. Have a plan,
well,
all those things.
Kind of getting off from that, doing too much stress. So then to counteract that, I'm saying people not training hard enough.
Right, so we've got those people, haven't we?
Yeah, so people, oh, well, I go in and do this gym. You know, can I see it in the gym? Kind of people just cruising through the workout, you know, updating the Facebook between sets, chatting. You know what I mean? If you're into train hard, get in and get out like the SAS, do the job, get out again. You know, if you can hold a conversation whilst you're doing an exercise, it's probably not that hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kind of going back to that old school, how do you test if you're working aerobically? If you can hold a steady conversation, you know, while you walk on the treadmill chatting to your mate about what happened in
Yeah, I forgot about that. I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah,
if you want to explain that to people who don't know it about...
So, you know, it's the idea that you're working, you know, aerobic is working with oxygen, anaerobic is working without oxygen. So lifting weights would be anaerobic. You know, doing a sprint would be anaerobic,
yeah,
because you're kind of pretty much holding your breath. You know, running a mile would be aerobic because you have to breathe.
Yeah.
You can't hold your breath for running a mile. So the idea is kind of if you're getting out of breath and you're working too hard, you need to back off, you should be able to hold a steady conversation.
Yeah, and you can use that as a scale to monitor the...
So if you're lifting weights while having a conversation, it's probably not that hard.
Yeah. I think you, I mean, we've obviously made a point of of people not doing too much. And I think that's obviously that can only be judged by someone's situation. But I do think that point is probably more common, the issue is more common what you've just made of, I think a lot of people that the average gym user is not aware of the level at which they have to be training to see some results.
Oh yeah, like working as a PT, you know, you get some people like, oh, do you think I train hard? Or, you know, do I need to train harder? It's like, well, yeah. And it's not like I'm not being like big-headed. Yeah. It's like, you know, if you want to come down and watch me train,
yeah,
you know, then feel free, because I'm busting a nut.
Yeah,
when I'm training, I'm there to do a job, you know what I mean? I don't want to funny around.
And that's just obviously lack of experience on their part. And I think that's probably, that, like you just said about, I think that's probably one of the biggest plus points of a personal trainer. Just the fact of that eye opener for the client that they see the level at which they need to be operating at.
Like you said, you know, working in a gym, so obviously I kind of train like off peak times, you know, when I'm quiet, and then, you know, every so often you'll train and someone will come and go, oh, it's nice to see you doing something.
Yeah.
You don't get muscles like this at the beach.
Don't get looking like that.
Did I tell you about when I went to the seafood disco?
No.
Pulled a muscle.
Oh, shh.
Take it. How much do we charge for this podcast?
I'm not going to edit that out either.
How much do we charge for this?
It's free.
Fuck off. I'm giving out these bombs. They're free.
Apart from all the all them earnings we get from them adverts we put on it. No adverts on this bad boy.
Right, Sean T's incent. Check your heart rate.
So yeah, I think obviously people, it's good for people to know the level at which they should be training, and in order to get the results.
Yeah, it's that whole kind of comfort zone thing. You know, obviously, like I said, for your body to adapt, it has to go beyond its comfort zone. It has to be overstimulated as opposed to just kind of sticking to that normal thing.
So you've got to, like you said, you've got to go beyond that. Not too much, obviously, but you do have to. You do have to stretch yourself to get that stimulation.
Yeah, I a lot of it is just that kind of, it's that almost mental toughness that you need. You know what I mean? If every time it starts to hurt you, back off. You know what I mean? You're never going to progress.
I think people aren't aware, are they? No. What they're capable of, aren't they?
Yeah,
really?
That's right. You know, so you'll, again, kind of just from my experience with working with clients, you know, you'll set someone up with a weight. Oh, I can't do that. And, you know, 12 reps later, they've done it. It's like, well, you've just done 12 reps with something you said you couldn't do. Sometimes they'll be doing the reps saying, I can't lift this. This is too heavy.
I've actually seen that. I've been training people and they've gone, I can't. I can't.
Whilst doing it.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty much.
How posh are the people you train?
Different level of service, mate.
I can't.
Yeah.
And then, you know, moving on swiftly. So I think kind of people not eating enough is a big thing. So under eating, you know, it's one of those ones you see quite a lot. If you have someone who's been overweight and then has dropped a lot of weight, then they're really kind of scared of, you know, backing, you know, ramping up those calories. And I think it really kind of stops and they'll just plateau. It'll stop them from getting those results. So they'll get some results and they'll be scared that if they eat more, they'll kind of chunk back up.
Yeah, and the people, I mean, it's a funny, I think obviously as well, especially if people are overly concerned about the calorie intake as well, if someone's looking at that and keeping an eye on that, they can become obsessed, can't they, with how much they do eat. And a lot of people think less, no matter how they do it, eating less is the way to do it.
Yeah, and it's not. I mean, why would you not want to eat as much as possible without kind of, you know, gaining negative weight?
Yeah, I mean, well, we've said it a million times before. It's about eating the correct things, which probably brings us on to another, again, a more common thing than what you just said, is people eating too much. Now, we know that's an issue. People eat too much. Generally speaking, people eat too much garbage, and that's why people are in a bad state.
But then you've got these kind of foods that are labelled as which are healthy foods that people overeat on. So, you know, they're very calorie dense.
Exactly.
Like nuts and nut butters. You know,
beat me to the punch.
Yeah. As soon as someone, I take it. Yeah. As someone says, cannonball run. As soon as someone says, oh, you know, kind of nuts are healthy, you know, full of good fats and blah, blah, okay, so they're still full of fats.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a good source of fat,
yeah,
but it don't mean you can eat, you know, an abundance of them.
And I think as well that the issue, like, cause you can, this is why we may have mentioned it before, you can eat well and what a lot of people would say eating clean or eating natural. but just by eating too much. So, and it is so easy, I think, the foods that you can eat too much of too easily are where the issue is, like nuts, like nut butters.
Yeah, if I'm getting my 85% bar of dark chocolate and I'm dipping it into a jar of peanut butter a day, I'm gonna start looking a little bit soft.
Yeah, and that's where we would say.
Though they're both foods, I would say, yeah, eat those, they're really good for you.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's the amounts that you eat.
Exactly. I would say calories are not the main thing people should be focusing on. But no,
it's food quality, but clearly,
calories are not, like I've said before, calories are not insignificant. And to be overeating will even if it is stuff you might say is good for you.
All I can think of is like a square dark chocolate with peanut butter on and then another square chocolate.
It would be, but that's what, yeah. And so, and I think that's the problem with nut butters.
Maybe a cashew nut on top.
Maybe that's the problem with nut butters in particular. Is the volume you can eat very easily. You know, that's so easy to do. So
that's what I mean. You know, like a couple of squares of dark chocolate a day, or you know, and then a couple of spoonfuls of peanut butter or any kind of nut butter. You know, is going to be fine. But like I say, when you're eating spoons and spoonfuls of it and then a bar of it a day, then those calories are going to add up.
And as well, without getting too much into the science of it, if you're eating a large amount of fat, then or more than a usual amount of fat, it can depend on what kind of diet you are. There'll be some people who get real good results who do well off what you call a ketogenic diet. So yep. The main source of fuel is the fat. Now, this is when people have become what you would call fat adapted, so they're well used to burning fat. That diet could go pear-shaped, in my opinion, if you're eating that fat or high fat, but you're also eating a fair few carbs as well. Mm. And that's where you get an issue. These ketogenic diets work quite well. For a lot of people, because the carb numbers are small.
Yeah, when I said, you know, diets are, I think nutrition is very simple. It's basic level, as in just kind of eating real foods. But then it's going to depend on you as to how complicated you make it. You know, I'm not great with carbohydrates. I've got better since I've got leaner at dealing with them. But like I say, I have a lot of protein, a lot of fat, and then kind of small amounts of carbs. So I might have maybe one or two kind of carbohydrate-based meals a day.
Yeah, and
like,
people,
you know, servings of carbs.
And people do.
Good on that.
Yeah, people do better or worse. Some people are very insulin sensitive, so they seem to be able to do okay with carbs and what they appear to be insulin sensitive anyway. And then other people don't do so well, and carbs can cause a fair bit of weight gain.
I've got childbearing hips. I'm naturally blocky. You know, and I can put on weight very easy, so I can put on muscle, but I put on body fat as well very, very easily. Whereas, you know, you've got someone else who's kind of naturally really skinny, you know, small frame, they'll probably need a lot more carbohydrates in their diet and be able to cope with them a lot better. So you kind of, you know, there's a lot of experiment with your food. So, you know, you might want to do one day where you'll do kind of like a moderate carb, then a high carb, then a no carb, you know, high fats and stuff like that. And just, you know, kind of see how you feel energy-wise. One day you're going to feel all fucked up, tired. You know, next day you might feel fine, you know, it might crush a workout, you might sleep well. I've found if I go on completely no carbs, my sleep just goes to shit.
Yeah, other people have shown that as well.
So I like to, you know, sometimes like before, but pre-bed I'll have some berries, so like raspberries, blueberries, a bit of Greek yogurt, and maybe just like a spoonful of oats on top, a little bit of honey or something like that, and that sends me off to sleepy town.
Yeah, I mean, we'd say before, like the basic rule doesn't change in terms of the quality of the food is always the most important.
Yeah, it's just playing around with it.
The individual tolerances. But I think, like I said, there are you know you will see science that will be evidence for a certain way of eating. Like I said, ketogenic diets have been shown to work really well. But the problem comes is if you hear the term. I think if you hear the term said that fat's okay, and I'm the first person to say that fat is not bad.
Yeah.
And I don't think fat's responsible
Nature's
for...
Nature's fats.
Exactly, yeah. And the source of fat is important, all this rubbish, trans fat and such like. But you can read about that. I've written about that. So all fat... Right. Come on.
Sounds enough likes.
Shush.
Right, we're going one for one.
So the fat...
Really good PT.
What's going on? The fat is not an issue. However, if you're eating large amounts of fat, the context is important within the diet. So if you're eating large amounts of fat and maybe your diet's not great, then suddenly, you know, you've got an abundance of energy or calorie-dense food in and amongst a poor diet. Not good.
It's all, like I say, it's going
to
be
fast street to weight gain.
Yeah, indeed.
So, not so eating. So, and also as well, I think you were going to make the point actually. If people are, if this is the suspicion that the food they're getting through too much food, big thing to do. What I tell people to do when I take them on, take clients on, is to log down what you eat.
Yeah, food log. You know what I mean. So, just write down everything you eat, everything that passes your lips for like 5 days. You know, if you want, stick it into an app. So MyFitnessPal, something like that, and it'll tell you breakdown of, you know, your protein, your carbs, your fats, your calories. Too much like hard work for me, but keeping a food diary is really good. It makes you accountable for what you're doing. You know, every time you have to get your notebook out, or you know, you're going to write into, on your phone or something like that, it's a conscious thing. You know, you're actively thinking.
Yeah.
Right, I'm eating another seven bourbon.
I mean, we're not
biscuits.
We're not talking about being obsessed with what you eat here.
Being accountable for it, being mindful of what you eat.
If you've never done it, yeah, to be mindful. If you've never done this, that in itself can be an eye opener. I mean, I deliberately have people do that, not just because so I can have an idea of what they're getting through, because most people lie anyway.
Yeah.
But it's for a process for them to go through to make them aware of what they're eating.
And then I think, you know, it's easier to, instead of me just going, not knowing what someone's eating and saying, right, eat this. If I can get someone to take a food diary so I can see what they're eating and then make small changes, you know, over, you know, weeks and weeks and weeks and months and months and months, yeah, and saying, right, you know, show me again. Right, okay, so you had this meal for breakfast. Okay, so you're eating scrambled eggs instead of fucking cornflakes for breakfast.
Yeah.
Or breakfast biscuits. You know, right, this meal would have been better if you'd have, say, added some veg to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or if these eggs were free range, then that would have been, you know, three times better than you eating some caged eggs.
Yeah.
You know, so if you'd have had free range eggs, you know, stuck some spinach in there, stuck some tomatoes in there, cooked in a bit of coconut oil, perfect. Right. And then you're kind of adapting to their foods that they want to eat, as opposed to, you know, just saying, right, I want you to eat an egg white omelette for breakfast. No one wants to eat an egg white omelette for breakfast.
Yolk's the best bit. Oof.
I mean, that's what the little bird eats. It's got to be delicious, nutritious. Which, speaking of, you know, the one thing that always pops up is just people not eating enough protein. Again, you know, kind of like when we take people on as clients, 5-day food diary, look at it. Typically, women really under eat on protein. What do you have for breakfast? Cereal, lunch, soup.
Yeah.
Dinner, then they'll have some kind of small portion of protein.
Yeah.
You know, so what are you getting? 30, 40 grams of protein a day, tops. You know, bang that up, protein every meal. You know, some kind of lean protein, animal protein. Obviously, not if you're vegetarian. Don't get me started on that again. It's your choice.
Lean protein, do you think it has to be lean?
Well, I mean, like, not dripping with fat. So, like, a good cut.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, kind of the... You know, if I'm having like chicken, then I'd rather have chicken thighs and chicken breast because it's juicier.
But you're right. Probably, I mean, I would say about fat in animal. The thing about your lean cuts is the issue. Like I say, I've just said that I'm not particularly worried about fatness, so as long as the fat is good or natural, we might say. However, one thing you do get with if the source of the fat or the meat or the animal is not ideal,
which, to be honest,
it can be quite difficult to get the ideal, you know, organic grass fed.
Yeah, so when you've got to eat as well as your budget will allow.
Yeah, if the animal is not optimal, then the fat will not be, and therefore, like, and we're told that animals like ourselves tend to store toxins in the fat.
Yeah,
so your fat could be a bit dodgy in that respect.
Yeah, that's it. So if you're getting like a cheap steak or a cheap beef, then the chances are that the animal's been kept in not great conditions. It's been pumped full of hormones. You know, it's been given cheap feed. It's probably not in the best of health. So then all the toxins that have gone into that animal are kind of transferred into the fat.
Yeah. And that's a strong argument for not eating animal products, but that's a discussion for another day.
Again, you know what I mean? Like I say, you just got to, obviously, kind of, if you're eating cheap cuts of beef or something, but then you're walking around with a £500 handbag, then I'd rather spend £500 on decent food.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You just got to get your priorities right. If you're going out on the piss,
yeah,
spending, you know, £100 over a weekend on booze, that's £100 worth of decent food you could have had. And you got, you know, what price you put on healthy in?
There is no price, man. It's priceless.
Priceless for everything else.
Oh, I wish you'd get some money from them. that's quite a lot of pitfalls there. You know, I wanted to talk about some of the things, but we've not got time. But any other points? Any other things that
I think the biggest one would be wearing a fucking snapback and showing your nipples whilst in the gym.
That's going to hinder gains all day long, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually been. There's a study that came out. It's scientifically proven to raise your estrogen and drop your anabolic games by 6,000%
wearing a snapback alone.
I tell you what, walking in the gym without a hat on, then getting changed, and then coming out in the changing rooms wearing a fucking snapback.
Yeah.
So you got a gym-specific hat.
Exactly. What is that?
I sweat like a Geordie in an exam when I'm training. So I don't want to wear a hat. It'd be absolutely minging after two sessions.
Yeah, I don't get that. Guys,
why?
I don't.
And to the side.
I don't understand that. Well, we can talk about. I tell you what we can do. We can talk
gym
about
gym fashion. I can't talk about gym fashion.
We can talk about in another podcast the issues we have with gym etiquette and other fitness professionals as well.
All right, here we go.
That's what we can discuss that.
Like, so, self-help gurus.
So we can look over that. Well, we'll namely people that
we're going to name them.
No, probably not. Mainly these guys that preach about what you should do, how you can look as well as them, but not telling you everything.
Oh, I get you.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I hear you.
So these guys that say you can, you know, you have to be disciplined, you have to train hard, you have to eat correct, and that's what you have to do, but they don't tell you the other things that they do.
The whole secrets.
The old, you know, vitamin S. It's
the Celtec.
And all that kind of thing. So, yeah, we have to, I think we'll look at that, and people can get in touch with us about that one if they want and tell us their own experiences.
Brap.
So, yeah. All right, I think we've done all right there. Got to keep these, you know, tightly packaged, haven't we?
Tightly packaged for the 30-minute walks for the 30 on the incline treadmill. Don't do that. Hold it on. No. Intervals.
Yeah, you should set aside some time in your day to listen to this.
You know what I mean? Wind down.
You know?
Before you go to bed.
Have some of that. Get the dulcet tones, send you off to sleep.
Beautiful. Like a white Yorkshire Barry White.
There you go. You got the beard. Did you have a beard, Barry White?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus. Sorry.
Amateurs.
What can I do? Thanks, James.
Absolute pleasure. Again, if you enjoyed it.
Doing my job. I am useless at this. Useless. This is why we only have two listeners.
Please share it on Twitter or Facebook. And then you can find me, Renegade PT, on Facebook, at Renegade_PT on Twitter, and Ian's favourite, Instagram.
You can't find me on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook at Ian's Health. And
that's
on Twitter,
due to some kind of law, though, isn't it? You're not allowed on Instagram.
Maybe, but the best thing is to go to the website where you will see
both of us,
which is at ianshealth.co.uk, and you can also look at some of the blog articles there. Which one we've got about sleep, so you can look about that.
Oh, thank you, Spider-Man.
Excellent.
Oh, it's still going.